I hope you'll turn, you got your Bible, and look in the book of Philemon. Philemon 6, verse 6. There's only one chapter. Look in the New Testament, you'll see Timothy, you'll see Titus, and right after Titus, you will see that little book of Philemon. And while you're turning there, let me just share with you a couple things. When I said our theme this year for Christmas is Jesus, we all meant it. If you'll notice where we've removed our pulpit for the Advent services, there's a reason for that. The focus of our service is not on the spoken word and not on what Doug or I or Matthew or anyone does from this spot, but the focus of all of our worship services is a manger, and I'm shadowed right now by the empty cross. Isn't that a beautiful place to be, between the manger and the cross? So we decided this year we would put the manger in the forefront, and that when you came in here, you would see the manger with a folded cloth on the manger. What would we mean by the folded cloth on a manger? When was there ever a folded cloth or a handkerchief or linen folded? Do you remember? At the empty tomb. So we go from the manger to the cross, the empty cross, to that white cloth, the resurrection of Christ, all in symbols. And it's fitting that we stand in the place we do to preach and lead, and we make sure that Jesus is at the forefront. Wow. Tell you what. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The book of Philemon, the New Testament book of Philemon. Let me give you just a little background information, because I got three things I want you to say. I didn't give you an outline. It's going to be on our PowerPoint in just a minute. And when we get to those points, and then no fill in the blanks, if you would like to write them down, you can. But these are three encouraging things, and let me tell you what happened. The New Testament book of Philemon was written by Paul as a short letter, literally, to Philemon's runaway slave, and his name was Onesimus. Now, apparently, Onesimus had stolen property from Philemon, and he made his way to Rome so that he could hide amidst all the people, probably over 200,000. But somehow, by the grace of God and the providence of God, Onesimus, the runaway slave, had met the Apostle Paul, and Paul had led Onesimus to faith in Christ. And now Onesimus is on his way back to the house of Philemon in order to ask his master to forgive him. Now Philemon was a well-to-do member of the church at Colossae, and the year is somewhere around A.D. 60 or 63, and Paul is in prison in Rome. And so Paul sends this letter to Philemon, his fellow brother in the Lord, by way of his messenger, and the messenger's name was Tychius. And Paul wanted to make sure that Philemon received Onesimus well when he came back, because he was coming back for one purpose, and that was to ask Philemon's forgiveness and make restitution for what he had stolen. Why? Because Onesimus had come to Christ, and he wanted to make things right. And in that day and time, Paul wanted the church at Colossae to understand complete and true forgiveness. And to understand that Philemon, owning slaves, that Onesimus was a human. Whether he was a slave or what, he was a human, he was in need of the salvation of Jesus Christ, and true forgiveness meant that that forgiveness toward others must take place. When a person is saved, they are forgiven by God, but you remember, what is the condition upon that forgiveness by God? That you forgive others. Philemon, matter of fact, in verse 11, refers to the name Onesimus and its meaning. I want to read these verses to you. Verses 10 and 11. I have the New King James translation in front of you. Verse 10 says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while I am in chains, in prison, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you. During my study for this, I really found some interesting historical information regarding Onesimus and how God changed his life, even to the point of becoming a bishop or minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I look back in the history books, and I discovered that Ignatius was evidently pastor of the church at Antioch about 50 years after Paul wrote the letter to Philemon. Ignatius was in prison, he was tried for his faith, and he was condemned as a martyr. And while being escorted from Antioch to Rome, Ignatius, wrote several letters to the churches of Asia Minor. And these letters still survive to this day. And one of them is written to the Ephesian church, where the first chapter speaks so highly of their pastor, then called bishop. Guess who he was? Onesimus. And Ignatius does the same thing in verse 11 of Philemon, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. The last part of verse 11 literally uses the name Onesimus. His name means profitable to God. But for this morning, I want us to consider the words of Paul to Philemon in verse 6. And I want to back up to verse 1 for a minute, and let's read these first 6 verses. Then I want to mention 3 things to you. Here's the first. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved, Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 4, I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints, and that the sharing of your faith, verse 6, may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Jesus. Over these past 4 Sundays, we've looked at 4 things under the title Sharing and Serving Jesus Our Lord. The first Sunday, I took you through a demographic study of a 1 in 3 mile radius of right where you're sitting. The second one, I took you through 7 powerful scriptures where you can mark your New Testament and how you can sit down in a very simplified way and let somebody know how to come to Christ. On the third Sunday, Matthew led you in the studying from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. That topic, you mean I have a gift? Yes, we're all charismatic. That's a Greek word for gift. And we possess charismata. And that's a spiritual gift. And God gave you that spiritual gift according to the Word of God the very second you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life. You can't go to school to learn how to use it. It's given to you in a spiritual way by God. And the Bible says that all believers are gifted. Yet the stats show us that 95% have never looked into what their spiritual gift really is. Last week, you had a chance to begin that process. And now this morning, I want to close it out with how do we live a Philemon 6 lifestyle? What we are to share is Jesus Christ, both verbally and through our lifestyle. The non-Christian world is watching you. They want to see if you really believe this stuff about Jesus is for real. Now, they may never say anything to you verbally, but I can assure you those around you are watching how you live. They're watching how you react. If, in fact, you truly practice what you believe. Living a lifestyle like that is being a witness through your lifestyle for Jesus Christ. But, folks, we miss an incredible blessing when we don't make the intentional effort to tell someone about Jesus and to tell our friends and neighbors how they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You remember this study I began with you in Matthew? We began at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where the Lord says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. As you go, disciple all nations," as it continues in verse 19. And so Paul here is expressing his passion for sharing Christ to Philemon, and he commends he and the church for what they are doing as they reach out to others. And there are three principles I want you to see. And literally in verse 6, that's the only verse we're going to stay with this morning. And here's the first one, because I want these to be encouraging moments for you in your sharing Christ, especially through Thanksgiving and Christmas and on in into 2011. Here is the first one. Simply says this: sharing Jesus is the natural outgrowth of your faith. In Philemon 6, the Bible says that the sharing of your faith, that word sharing is the Greek word we use for fellowship that you will recognize called koinonia. And that word means a oneness. It means a unity. It means a fellowship together. The word here actually means acting in spiritual unity. And in that oneness, the community would be called upon to openly share what they owned with each other and with those around them, both believers and non-believers. In other words, in the New Testament, the believer was to live his life in such a way that everyone would know that he was different, just like the Word of God taught them. And yet we live in a 21st century where the stats are showing us that you can't even tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Folks, sharing Jesus is a natural outgrowth of who we are. The natural sharing of our faith through our life and through our verbal witness. When the Great Commission was given, literally, in Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Matthew wrote it down, and the command for you and me, as you go, when you look at it in the Greek language, the word is in the participle form. We translate it, "go therefore." But it literally means, as you are going, disciple the nations. And that word disciple is a little word in the Greek where we get our word martyr, mathetousete, ta ethne, disciple the nations. And that is a natural outgrowth. So at this Christmas season, Advent season, and throughout 2011, let your light so shine that others will see Jesus in you. Does that sound familiar? That's Bible too. And then the Bible says, when someone asks you about the Lord Jesus, you be ready to give a defense. Defense doesn't mean argument. Defense means sharing your life of the truth from you to someone else. It's a natural outgrowth. But I want to tell you the second one. I want you to listen closely. I want you to realize this. The second one is simply this: the effectiveness of your sharing is dependent solely on the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says in Philemon 6 that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now, that word effective is where we get our word energy in the Greek language, in the English language, energy. Actually, it's pronounced energeis in the Greek. But it's translated as powerful, relevant, strong, active, and effective. And it's the energy that causes things to happen. Without this type of energeis or energy, you have no power, and that power comes only through the power of God's Holy Spirit. People say to me, "Randy, I tried this witnessing thing, but I bumfuzzled all over myself. I couldn't say the right words. I just messed up. I hope you'll write number two down, not only in your brain, but let it sink down in your heart. Anytime you talk to someone about Jesus and about what God is doing in His church, you are not a failure. You can't save anyone, nor are we commissioned to save anyone. The Bible says, go and tell. The power of the Holy Spirit is what transforms the person's life. And it's through the Word of God, through the witness. That's why reading the Word of God to someone, the Bible says, get under the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God in Hebrews, as it says, is sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword and is our authority for mankind today. So your sharing doesn't depend on you. Have you ever been with somebody in a situation and you know that you should have told them about Jesus? Maybe it was in the grocery line. Maybe it was in the car. Maybe it was with your family. Maybe it's at a camping outing. Maybe it was someplace where you were. And you just knew you should say something about Jesus and about what God is doing in His church and build up the name of Jesus, but you didn't. How did you feel? How did you feel in your own life when you felt like perhaps you didn't get to first base with someone? And that's how I felt many times. But folks, let me say something to you. Take advantage of the time. The effectiveness of sharing your faith is not dependent on you. It is dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit as you talk to other people. So they got to see Jesus in you. They got to live by a lifestyle of who they are. They've got to see. And then the sharing of your faith is dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul was trying to tell Philemon and the church at Colossae and lifting them up. Thank you for your effective sharing. Now, the third thing is this. Why do we share? We share because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. I want you to listen. He says that we become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. The word good, in the way the Greek language is set up right here, is a word that means complete, absolute good. In other words, used in the context of this scripture, it is talking about the most perfect good thing that God has done for you. What was that? He died for you on a cross. He took every sin you'd ever commit. He's no longer on that cross. He's resurrected from an empty tomb and seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. The only reason you and I can sit right here and get up on Sunday morning and come on the first day of the week and worship God is not so that you and I can be seen of others or to even talk to others. Thank God we have that privilege to be able to fellowship. The only reason we can sit in this worship place today is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. All the ground at the foot of the cross is level. We all put our breeches on the same way. We all put our coats and ties and our dresses and whatever all on the same way. We are level at the foot of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And the only reason we can come into this house of God that God has brought and left here since 1880 is because of the blood of Jesus. If you think you're here because you're doing God a favor by showing up, you're wrong. You're here out of incredible gratitude. God, I wouldn't even be alive today if it wasn't through the power of Jesus Christ in my life. And yet still society can tell no difference between a born-again Christian and a pagan. There's something bad wrong. If we would have done the Great Commission, each one reaching one, we would have now led this world to Christ, I think over 50,000 times over. But yet, our theme for Lottie Moon this year is, are we there yet? Now, I know you think of that little statement of being a children's question when you're going on vacation. But in our International Mission Board, "Are we there yet?" means simply this. Have we finished? Have we told the world about Jesus? No. But we're mounting like never before as a convention and as an evangelical group of people to tell this world about Jesus before it's too late. It's exciting to be alive today. I am convinced we are living in the last days. Now, is that going to mean tomorrow, today, 10 years or 50 or 100 or whatever years? I don't know. But folks, let me tell you something. God is setting up what is going to take place before he comes and when he comes to rapture this church. He told us things throughout the Word of God that are clear telltale signs of God's activity on this earth. And in reading over these last 2 or 3 years on that subject and studying it in the Old and New Testament, when you look at the big picture, you can see the progression of God. And realize that the next thing on God's final calendar is the rapture of the church. And there are no signs to the rapture of the church. The Bible says he will come as a thief in the night. When we're out doing our thing, we're marrying, we're being given in marriage, we're having children, we're eating, we're fellowshipping, the Bible says then the Lord will come. We don't know at that point. We don't know when the Lord will come back the second time. We're told in Scripture that it's following the tribulation because the children of God, the church, is taken out. It's snatched out. But yet in the 21st century, we live in a world, folks, that is almost ignorant of what it means to know Jesus. Kids at school are bullied, are ridiculed, are ostracized if they even mention the name of Jesus. Prayer is long gone from our school system. Many of us lived in the day, and I was at Osborne High School in the 60s, where we prayed before every football game. It's gone, as you well know. So much used to happen. But folks, none of that should surprise you. Because that is the prophecy of the Word of God. This is the way God said it would happen. So these three statements this morning that Paul shares in his greeting to the church, and in particular to Philemon, as he's welcoming Onesimus back to ask forgiveness for where he had messed up, literally, by stealing from him as a slave. Now he's coming back and he's making sure the church is built up and encouraged. Yes, it's difficult times. But don't forget, sharing your faith is a natural outgrowth of who you are in Jesus as a believer. And not only is it a natural outgrowth of who you are in believers, what you share and how you share it is not dependent upon yourself, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham said one time, witnessing is sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. You're the seed sower. We are the farmer. A recording artist friend of mine, Alan Daniel, who's still here in Marietta, recorded a song one time, "Old Dirt Farmer," and it just simply told the story of a person out in the field farming, and he compared that to sowing the seed of Jesus everywhere we go. And then the third thing, we share Jesus because of what he did for us on the cross. Folks, thank God for a manger, an empty cross, and an empty tomb. Because without it, we would be lost. That's our message to you over these last weeks as we've gone through go, give, and go. I'll get it back. Can't even talk this morning. I guess I'm excited about going in a minute to my grandson. We've had a time where we've taken these last 4 weeks and we've talked about an intensive form of just simply sharing Christ and then closing it out with the encouragement and challenge from Paul to Philemon, even in one verse of Philemon 6. Philemon 6 living means that we'll take these three statements and implement them in our life. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for you and me throughout our week. We have such opportunity throughout the week as people come to our door. I want you to know we gave out over 65 Thanksgiving food boxes and bacon hens and turkeys Monday and Tuesday of this week to folks that were screened by Storehouse Ministry. We'll be doing the same thing and more coming up in 2 and 3 weeks. So thank God for your gifts of food, of money, where we send to Noonday Baptist Association. Because one of the ways amongst many, but one of the ways you're seeing that money used is being a ministry in this community throughout the week. Sometime, if you wanted to come by and just sit here one day and just watch, especially on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 1 until 4, we give out those boxes. And then from Monday to Thursday from 1 until 2, we give out lunches. And I want you to see just sack lunches that are made by Storehouse. I'm so thankful for you folks. I'm thankful for your ministry to this community. And I am thankful for the response that we have from this community. Most of the people you see walking down the streets of Austell Road and around here, I know personally. Well, they'll call me Pastor Randy, a preacher or whatever, right on the street. And we thank God for such a ministry that the people know that Olive Springs are here. You are practicing Philemon 6 living. Right here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time together as we look deeply into Philemon 6, into the passion of the writing of Paul. And then, Father, help us as we go throughout this day and throughout the week and this Advent season that we'll remember to share Jesus both verbally and through our life, that we'll remember that the power of sharing is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the reason we share is because of what you did and have just done for us on that cross. That the only way we can be in this place today is because of the blood of Jesus. Lord, how do we ever, ever express our gratitude? If we had and owned all there was to own, and we had all the money there was to even accumulate on this earth, and everything we are, and we brought it and put it at your feet in your throne room, it still wouldn't even not even be close to a sufficient down payment for what you did for us. But Lord, thank you that you didn't require that payment. You did, yes, of sin and death, but Lord, you healed and took care of that payment in full on the cross for us. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, bless this time. Bless our worship now to follow. Matthew as he preaches, the choir as they sing, these instrumentalists and all as Doug comes to lead. And then, Lord Jesus and the congregation, you speak to our hearts through the power of the living Word of God. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. And we'll have worship here in about 11, and I'll slip out about right now. Thank you. Yes, sir. Normal Sunday school next Sunday. Yes, you should have your books. And everything is back to meeting with your class beginning next Sunday. Great. Thank you.